welcome to a special Sierra Nevada 2016 Beer Camp Pack episode of
Brutal Battle.
Yes.
That was a mouthful.
Yeah, it was. It was a lot. So, if anyone who's been listening for a while knows, we did a review of the Beer Camp Pack last year in 2015, and that one, there were 12 different beers. So the way we broke that down was we drank, I think, 8 of them off podcast, and then the last 4 we did on podcast, and then we had just taken notes on the 8 that we had off podcast and talked about them, and then we actually drank the other 4. So this time around, the Beer Camp Pack changed a little bit. So they did, there's still 12 beers in there, but it's 6 different beers and 2 of each. Also, what's different about it is it used to be just Sierra Nevada and one brewery collaboration for each beer. And this one is a team of breweries, which I think is, counting Sierra Nevada, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 6. If you count Sierra Nevada in it, it's teams of 6 breweries. And they were kind of broken down by region of the United States. So that's interesting. So what we're going to do, we're going to do all 6 beers for this, actually taste and review them on the show. Full disclosure, because we like to do that, we're not doing them all in one sitting because we don't feel like drinking 6 of these beers at once. We want to kind of savor them a little bit more. So we're going to do 3 right now. We're going to do 3 on another recording, but it will be condensed down to 1 episode, and I'll just edit it so it all sounds like one. So you may hear a few small differences in, you know, maybe one of us will be stuffier on one of the days.
I hope not. Who's going to be stuffier?
I hope neither of us, but you never know. Or maybe the positioning of the microphone will be a little bit different. We don't know. So anyway, if you hear any differences, that's what it's all about. And like I always do, full disclosure, you know, we want you to know how we do things around here. So
this is how we do it.
So we have 3 in front of us at the moment. Then we'll get to the other 3. Rebecca, you had the pleasure of choosing these. I said, go ahead, choose the 3 that you want to do. I mean, we're doing them all, so it doesn't really matter that much, but, you know. So let's go ahead and just jump into the first one. Which, by the way, I just want to comment. I think I get excited for the Beer Camp. Ever since last year, I became aware of, you know, them putting the Beer Camp out. I get very excited because it's just cool to try collaborations. And when you can buy a pack of beer and there are that many interesting collaborations in there, it's just awesome. And I got really excited for this pack in particular ahead of time because they have, like, 6 months or so ahead of time released the lists of who was going to be collaborating from each region. And I was looking at these breweries and I'm like, oh my gosh, like some I didn't even recognize, but
yeah, and that's part of it too. It's just like learning about new breweries.
Yeah, we're like, what is this one? Where are they? What do they do typically? So, but the other thing is we don't necessarily know how these collaborations were done.
Yeah,
actually, I think I remember from last year that they all get brewed at Sierra Nevada.
Yeah, I think so.
But I don't know how the input was done. Like, did the head brewer from all these breweries get together and they just kind of talk and be like, oh, well, this is what we want to do? Did they do a test batch together elsewhere, maybe?
Didn't you find this in your research?
I didn't do research for this.
You didn't do research?
No, we're just going to do the pack.
Wait, there's no talk. There's no talking. No, we're just the whole time.
Right. We're just going to evaluate the beers, see what we like.
Crazy.
I mean, if you want some...
No.
I'm just going to say, if you want the history on how Beer Camp started and all that stuff, go back and listen to the 2015 episode because that's where we have that info.
The one that I was on?
Yeah, exactly. So, okay. So the first Beer Camp beer we're doing was the Patriot Revolutionary Pale Ale. Now, as you can imagine, that region was kind of like, you know, Massachusetts and, you know, New England-ish area. Went a little further south, though. So the breweries involved in this, Devil's Backbone Brewing Company, prior to being purchased by AB InBev, they were on the list for this. Dogfish Head Craft Brewery, Lawson's Finest Liquids, people know a lot about them, very highly touted. Stouts Brewing, they're the ones out of Pennsylvania. And Trillium Brewing Company, which also gets a lot of...
Where's Trillium based out of?
Massachusetts, I believe. I'm not going to know the locations of all these breweries. I did not look that up. I thought about it, but then I was just like, it doesn't really matter where they are necessarily. Does it?
I mean, it doesn't, but if I have questions...
Well, you can look them up. I guess so. While we're going. Start looking ahead on the other beers, then. find them all. That's your assignment right now.
I just want to drink this now. Beer.
I know, right? So this one, this Patriot Revolutionary Pale Ale. So it's a rye pale ale that also has apples added to it. Now, I had said to Rebecca leading up to this episode that I'm probably least excited about this one. Just because I just really don't know how the apples are going to play in this beer. I feel like it might have a tendency to make it kind of too cider-y, but that's just my first preconceived notion. There's some really awesome breweries involved with this, obviously. So, I mean, they could have pulled off something amazing. I don't know. So, go ahead and look at this. It's like a little yellowish, but very orange, to be honest. Very orangey, a little bit of a yellow tinge. What are you looking at?
I'm looking at the bottle, and all the brewers involved in this are located in the original 13 colonies.
Oh, that's awesome. That's very cool. Wow, that's pretty awesome.
Oh, and you didn't read this?
Well, they're not... No, I didn't read it.
Okay.
I didn't read it because I didn't... If there were flavor notes...
No, there's no flavor notes.
I didn't want to know that.
It features rye and apples, which were among the first ingredients used by American brewers in the colonies.
Okay, well, I think I just learned that we should read all of them. So that's kind of giving a background on why they decided on this. Okay, that's cool. Then now I know I can read those because there's no flavor text.
I'll read them. I think there were some on the other ones.
Okay.
But not on that one.
All right, well, you can go ahead and check that out then. All right, so what do you smell in there?
What is that? I mean, obviously you get...
There's a very...
Very hoppy.
Yeah, there's a very citrusy hoppy characteristic in here.
I wasn't expecting that.
And it smells... To me, it smells very much like a Trillium beer. Because we had a Trillium beer weeks ago. And that hoppy characteristic is what I'm getting on the nose. With that citrusiness.
I'm just getting hops. I'm not really getting anything else. Like, I get the citrus notes, and that's...
I can get a little bit of the apple, but it's really, like, under a bunch of layers. I mean, there's a little bit of, like, a caramelly malty aspect in there, but it's a lot of citrusy hoppiness up front, and then that kind of apple and the sweetness from the apple on the end of the nose. Let's try it. Super light. Ridiculously light. On the mouthfeel. Very light.
Yeah. I like this, actually.
Oh, what's the ABV on that? I did not say what the ABV
is. I think it's like 5-something.
5.6. Yeah, so pretty low. There's a lot of bitterness up front. Well, not like a ton, but more than I was expecting from it based on the nose. I get a decent amount of bitterness. I do get some of that apple kind of flavor with some of the sweetness to go along with it.
But you know what? If I didn't know there were apple in it, like, I wouldn't be able to pick that out by any...
Yeah, I can see that. There's a little bit of a citrusy hop character, but it's not really all that hoppy in the flavor, to be honest. It's a very...
No, but it's definitely very bitter on the finish.
Yeah. But with the, its body, how light that is... I feel like the beer itself just kind of falls off your tongue.
It does, yeah.
The bitterness stays, but the body just falls off. It's almost kind of watery on the finish. I'm not wild about it. It's okay. I feel like this is a easy beer.
Yeah, I don't...
Oh, some of that bitter, like, aspect could be from rye. From the rye.
Yeah, that's I'm not it. Getting...
I totally forgot. I'm really bad at trying to pick out rye.
I'm not getting any of the rye notes. Every time I think of rye, you know what beer I think of.
No.
Oh.
I actually don't. What do you think?
The sandwich beer.
Oh, yeah, from Ninkasi, the hop sandwich. Or no. Yeah, it was sandwich IPA or something.
So, yeah. That was so good. And that was like a beer that you really could get the rye presence, and so good.
Yeah, so I don't, you know, it's interesting. This is just a really light, delicate beer that, like, the flavor's pretty low. I'm not that impressed with it, to be honest.
I don't dislike it.
I thought my fears of it were that it would be very, very apple-y, and I wouldn't like it for that reason. It'd be kind of like a cider, but...
Not like a cider at all.
No, it's... I mean, it's just a kind of a low-flavor, light beer. It's not bad. I'll continue to drink it. It's fine. But it's not one that I would want, like, seek out. You know, it's just like, yeah. Okay, that's a beer.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I agree.
I mean... Cool concept mm-hmm. with the 13 colonies. Yeah, I think the concept
is cool.
But I had higher hopes based on what the breweries were.
Oh, I think this is the tasting notes.
Oh, it's on
the top of the label.
On the label. Okay,
so the tasting notes of that says... Da, 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 da. Not really. It just says rye, apples, hearty dose of bold American hops for a light-bodied... And modern take on a recipe.
I wouldn't say bold hops.
No.
It's the hops are not bold. In the nose, they're bold.
Right.
Yes, but in the flavor, they're not bold except for the bitterness that they're imparting on the beer. All right, so what's our next
one? So our next one is West Latitude Session Rye. Ale brewed with hibiscus.
Ooh.
In collaboration with Bear Republic. Faction Brewing Company, Mad River Brewing Company, Magnolia Brewing Company, and Maui Brewing Company.
I think I've only had stuff from Bear Republic off that list. And Maui.
And Maui.
I've had stuff from Maui. Yeah.
Okay, so it combines our California left coast love of fruity hops with a touch of Hawaiian aloha. From the addition of the hibiscus flowers.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Anchored by robust malts and spicy rye. The session beer is light in body, but looms large, like the long shadows of a westward setting sun.
Could have done without that. But, yeah. You know.
Hold on, I'm looking for the ABV. Hold on.
It's on the back over here.
5.5.
Overall, the ABVs on the beers in the pack, pretty low. I think the highest was an 8.5. There's an 8.5, 7.5, a 7.3, and then the rest of them are under 6. So, pretty low. All right, well, let's check out this West Latitude Session Rye. Pour some for you, ma'am. There you go.
Okay.
What does it look like? What's the coloration on this sucker? It's very brown.
I would say it looks like brown.
Yeah, it's pretty brown.
A little red tinge.
Yeah, a little red tinge to it. Relatively see-through, though, when you get it up to the light.
A lot of malt.
Yeah. There's a decent amount of malt in there. It almost smells dirty. Like a little bit of like a dirt. There's a little bit of a dirt aspect in there.
Yeah, I could see that.
But there is a nice citrusy kick on the nose.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like a really light kind of spritz of like an orange scent. Doesn't smell like it would be all that bitter.
Smells like it's just going to be a really light beer.
Yeah. Hopefully a lot of that citrus actually comes through on the flavor, but... I don't know necessarily what hibiscus smells like. I'm sure I'm smelling it, but I can't pick it out, so.
I went to tasting.
All right, so what do you think, Ben?
All of these are so bitter.
I don't think this one's that bitter.
I don't know. I don't know what to make of this.
It kind of tastes earthy.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like I was saying, like the smell is like a little dirt-ish. And the taste is a little, like, there's a little bit of a kind of like a dirt aspect. There's a little bit of a roasty type character on it, which is probably coming from the rye. It's got a little bit of that kind of like spice that lingers on the tongue that rye can give you.
I don't know if I feel like there is like a...
Tinge of tropicality?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't know if that, I'm trying to pick out the hibiscus. Like, I feel like... In the middle, like, it first hits your tongue, and you get some of the spice, and then you get, like, a little ping of, like, the floral note or the citrus, and then it falls off.
And then it's bitterness on the end. It's pretty drying on the finish as well. Significantly more than I was expecting from it. Mm. I mean, it's okay.
Mm.
Once again, kind of underwhelmed by it.
Yeah, I can appreciate... What I appreciate with these is the kind of the thought that went into trying to use ingredients or something that would...
represent their area, yeah. Their region. Yeah.
Or, like, what they're doing. I'm not done yet. And, but I'm not... And so for that aspect, I think I'll drink it because I think that's kind of cool. But the beer itself, I'm not...
Yeah, I'm not.
Like, oh my God, this is amazing.
I'm not all that impressed with it, to be honest. It's, you know, it's okay. I mean, it's not, like I said, it's not bad. I mean, I'll drink the rest of it. It's an interesting concept. I wish there was more of, I guess, the hibiscus so you could, like, really get it. And more of that kind of citrusy hop character because it's just kind of muddy. Like, it like you're saying, there's that little, like, tinge in the middle of, like, the hibiscus and citrus together. And then it just, it's earthy. It's muddy. It's kind of...
Yeah.
And then just the bitterness. So. Okay.
Now, this is the one Carlin was most excited about.
Yes. And I think you, too. I think you were also.
Family Values Imperial Brown Ale. Ale brewed with cocoa nibs and honey in collaboration with August Shell Brewing Company.
They out of Michigan, I believe.
Dark Horse, Half Acre, Perennial Artisan Ales, and Sun King.
I was very excited about this one, even before the beer pack came out because of that team. Because I haven't had anything by August Shell, but Dark Horse, I've had a little bit of their stuff and enjoyed it. Half Acre, I really like what Half Acre does. Perennial, I've had a few Perennial things and really liked it. And Sun King, I've had a few Sun King beers and really liked those. So I felt like that was one of the most solid teams that was put together. So it makes me real excited for this.
Okay, so Family Values, this is what it reads on the back of the bottle. Family Values showcase the cooperation and kinship of Midwestern brewers. It features largely Midwestern grown ingredients, including Minnesota wild rice, Indiana honey, Missouri oats, Michigan hops, and cocoa nibs from Illinois, as well as Sierra Nevada's estate grown malt.
Oh, so they hit all the areas. Cool. What's the ABV on that? I don't know if you said it or not.
Oh, 8.5.
Oh, that's the 8.5.
Here we go.
Okay, got it. Makes sense. Imperial. Yeah.
Yeah, I just like how they are, like, using ingredients and things representative of their area. I think that's cool.
Yeah, it shows... It not only shows, like, a level of pride that they're trying to impart in their region, but it just shows them trying to be super creative, you know? And I feel like that's got to be kind of tough to sit down and be like, all right, what can we pull from our regions?
Well, and that might be why we're not seeing anything we're blown away from with, you know, because they might have been a little limited. I don't know. I'm assuming.
Crazy exotic.
Or... Yeah.
So it looks very brown, a little bit of a reddish tinge to it, but very brown. As it's an imperial brown.
Yeah, it's...
You can see through it.
It almost could be a porter.
Nah, a little too light for that in color.
You're sitting closer to the window. Yeah, definitely. Like, oh, okay.
All right, so go ahead and smell.
It smells like thick.
I get the cocoa nibs immediately, and I get also a little bit of a vanilla type note.
Get like sticky toffee.
Which is probably the honey coming in there.
Maybe.
The honey with the cocoa nibs kind of coming together,
like, it just
can create that kind of toffee aspect in there.
It just smells like it's going to be like a have more body than the first two beers we tasted.
And oftentimes, like I get with some darker type beers, I get a little bit of banana note on the nose.
Yep.
Definitely. So it's like, you know, banana, toffee, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
It smells pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a creaminess to this beer. Almost a little lactic, like milk.
Almost tastes like, you could probably say it tastes like it could be on nitro.
Yeah, a little bit. It does have that, almost that level of like a creaminess. Almost. Yeah, not quite that far, but it's almost there. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's like, banana whipped creamy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those banana notes are definitely kind of there. I get the cocoa nibs, And I'm assuming that the cocoa nibs are where a lot of that kind of creamy quality are coming from. I get the honey in there for sure. Yeah. There's a sweetness that's coming along with the honey. Mm. And it does make it a little toffee-ish.
Yep.
Actually, maybe not so much toffee, but caramel.
Yeah.
More of the caramel aspect of things. Still a decent amount of bitterness on the finish, though.
Really?
I feel like all these beers had a pretty solid bitterness.
I feel like the last one was more better than this one.
Hmm. Interesting.
Okay. Well, I think this was my favorite, though.
Yeah. I mean, thus far. Well, that's fine. We can just say thus far.
Oh.
Yeah, thus far, I think that Family Values Imperial Brown is my favorite of the first three in this leg. And then after that, I'd probably say the Patriot Revolutionary Pale Ale, and then the West Latitude Rye, Session Rye.
Yep, I would agree.
So, I'm still not blown away by any of them, though. I feel like I found a lot more to love last year.
Mm-hmm. We still have three more to go.
We do still have three more to go, so we'll see, but...
And I also wonder if it's... I'm just gonna assume it's more difficult working with...
A crap ton of people?
Rather than...
One, like, two?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you have more people to please, and...
You know, and that makes me wonder about the coordination aspect of it. Like, how much of a pain in the ass was this for coordination? Not just for Sierra Nevada, because I could see that being a massive headache, but for all the people on the teams.
Yeah.
You know, trying to find the time to set aside to get together, and however they collaborated, you know. I mean, who knows? Maybe they all Skyped and just figured it out that way, which probably would have made it a lot easier, but who knows.
Yeah, now in the world of technology, you can FaceTime.
Yeah, right. All right, so we're going to move on to the last three. So we're kicking off the second round of the 2016 Sierra Nevada Beer Camp pack at the moment. Like we said, you know, we did one night where we did the first three, and we're doing another night where we're doing the last three, because we didn't feel like doing all six at the same time. But I have to do a bit of an update, and that is, as we continued to sip on those last few beers, my mind changed a little bit on how I was feeling. Like, for example, the Family Values Imperial Brown actually started getting a little more alcoholic, and a lot of the kind of chocolatey notes started falling out a little more. And the West Latitude Session Rye started getting a little bit more of a tropicality to it, and I got a little bit of a kind of that flowery hibiscus starting to peek through. And the biggest one for me was that Patriot Revolutionary Pale Ale. That got very nice. Very nice as it went on. It had a lot of citrus come to the forefront. It was very, very delicate but flavorful. And I was really enjoying that as I continued to sip on it. So that is my favorite thus far.
I can echo what Carlin said about the pale ale. The other two, I didn't have a whole lot more because I fell asleep.
Because she fell asleep. And I was like, are you going to finish some of these beers? And she's like, no.
I think I did a...
But yeah, that Patriot Revolutionary...
It was much better.
It really, like, yeah, as you keep going with it, the bitterness totally goes away, basically. And the citrus is just... It gets more and more robust as you keep sipping it. That one's actually kind of blew me away a little bit as I kept drinking it. So, very happy with that. And I did start to taste a little more of the apple in it as well. And it was very harmonious. So anyway, let's get to the rest of these beers.
Okay, let's do it.
We're going to do the Sweet Sunny South table beer at the moment. It is just a table beer, so it's light. It's 4.9% alcohol by volume. This one's done by Austin Beer Works, Bayou Tesh Brewing, Creature Comforts, Funky Buddha, as well as Wicked Weed. Oh. And obviously, as we remember, all of these have Sierra Nevada involved as well. It says, the South holds strong to its traditional flavors, tea, honey, sweet peaches, and corn grits. So we looked at those culinary cues for this Southern-inspired table beer with a golden grainy malt body and complex tangy finish from the fruit, tea, and herbs. Sweet Sunny South is perfect for sultry summer sipping.
Huh.
It's a lot of S's at the end there. So let's pour this sucker, pop it open, pour it, and see what's working. This
isn't
obviously
that an alliteration?
Yes. This one, obviously, the lightest of the beer pack at 4.9%. You didn't
acknowledge that that was a good word by me?
Alliteration?
Yeah.
It is good.
Okay.
I thought everyone knows alliteration.
Well, you always, like, make fun of my small vocabulary.
Now let's check out another Asian. Okay. Coloration.
The coloration.
It's very yellow.
Yeah.
A little bit of an orange tinge, but very yellow, very see-through. Yeah. Little bit of a white head on top. Let's smell it.
It smells good.
It smells very delicate.
Yeah, I don't even know.
There's some, like, lemon peel. A little bit of honey to it.
I get the honey.
I do get a slight peachy note to it as well, actually.
It's just, like, crisp.
Yeah, it's very crisp on the nose.
Crisp yeah. and fruity.
Yeah, crisp and fruity. That's a good way to put it. There is a little bit of a earthiness in there as well. Maybe a slight piney aspect.
Very honey.
Ooh. There's a lot of honey. There's a lot of what I was saying, that kind of lemon peel aspect to it.
I like this a lot.
I know there's a little bit of that peach flavor.
Yeah, I know you were not excited about this, but I'm really enjoying this.
This is good. This is really easy. Easy sipper. And like it said on the bottle, I kind of wish I hadn't read it to see if I would actually pick it out. But the tea, there is that kind of tea aspect to it as well. Like peach, tea, lemon, peel.
Yeah, I think they really hit it out of the park with all those flavor profiles. Mm.
It's super light, but it's super flavorful.
Yeah.
And it's so crisp and clean on the finish. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I know.
Go ahead.
I was going to say it's just a smidge too sweet for me.
You know, I could see maybe where you get that, but for me, the sweetness starts to build a little bit, but then it hits with a little bit of a tanginess, which is where I feel like that's where I'm getting that kind of like lemon peel, lemon zest. And there's a little bit of, you know, when I say that, some people think like a lot of bitterness. There's not a lot of bitterness. No. It's just like a touch.
I don't think it's bitter at all. So the tasting notes on the front of the beer says it includes, this fruit includes peaches, papaya, guava, and prickly pear for an easy to drink beer.
Which is very easy. True. Yeah, it's very citrusy. It's good.
Yeah.
And I'm happy that the peach shines through as much as it does. I'm a fan.
Yeah, I really like that one.
Yeah, dude, that's a killer beer right there.
Okay.
You know, it's moments like this and with, you know, the experience that I kept having with that Patriot that makes me happy that there's two of each of these beers in the pack. Yeah. Which is why sometimes it was a little sad with the way they did the pack last year. You know, you had 12 different ones so you could try more, but if you really liked something, there were no repeats, which was like, it's kind of sad. All right, so moving on, the next one, Moxymoron Imperial Session IPA. Because that's an oxymoron, obviously, you can't have Imperial Session IPA, really. Doesn't make sense. So this is done by Balebreaker Brewing, Barley Browns Beer, Black Raven Brewing, Melvin Brewing, and Odell Brewing. I only really know of Odell, and I've had like maybe one of their beers before. The city of Moxie, Washington is in the heart of the Yakima Valley hop growing region, and this Imperial Session IPA, a style contradiction, honors the Pacific Northwest hop bomb heritage. Moxymoron features hops in the mash, the kettle, the hop torpedo, I'm sorry, it's a little hard to read this because there's some stuff kind of scratched, and the fermenter for ultra-complex hop aromas and flavors in an ironically named package.
Cool.
So it sounds like it should be nice and hoppy. All right. Let's get this Moxymoron in our glass.
ABV on
that? Oh, yeah. Sorry. ABV 7.5.
Okay.
So second highest ABV of all the beers. Remember that Imperial Brown was the highest. So Moxymoron, it looks very orange.
Yeah.
Orange, but very clear. Super filtered,
it's like
clear.
Yellowish orange.
There's a decent white head on the top that I did not expect. Ooh, very, I feel like there's some mango in the nose.
Mm-hmm. I'm getting some pineapple.
Pineapple, definitely. There's a lot of citrus, a lot of tropicality kind of all converging at once. I feel like I smell like there's Simcoe hop in there, most likely.
It smells good. Okay.
Yeah, it smells really good. It's got a nice malty backbone to it at the same time, though, but there's tons and tons of citrus up front, a little malt sweetness on the back of that nose. Might be a little passion fruit. All right, what do you taste?
I taste all the fruitiness. It tastes like, I think it's really tasty.
It's a little sweet on the finish.
Yeah, definitely not bitter, which I like.
There's a bit of a bitterness to it, but it's not crazy. But I think I get a lot of those flavors. I get a little of that pineapple. Mm-hmm. I get a decent amount of that mango aspect I was talking about. There's some orange in there.
A real fruity, citrusy IPA, and it tastes exactly like that.
And it does have a decent malt sweetness coming in on the end. I think I might want the sweetness dialed back a little bit on it, and it is coming off a little syrupy for a 7.5.
Really? I'm not getting that at all.
Yeah, but it's still good. Like, yeah. This is still a nice beer. Mm.
Very good.
Wow. Yeah, that's just I guess maybe they're calling an Imperial Session just to be kind of funny about it and poke fun at the whole Session IPA versus Imperial IPA, you know.
Right.
How people like to categorize these things. But, that's good thus far. This has been this has been a good session right here. All right, I gotta finish mine real quick.
Okay.
What's our last one gonna be then?
Last one is Stout of the Union, Robust Stout, in collaboration with Bagby Beer Company, Beechwood Brewing, Port Brewing Company / The Lost Abbey, Smog City Brewing, Society Brewing.
So I know of, obviously, Lost Abbey. A lot of people know Lost Abbey / Port City. You know, the same. I'm sorry, Port, not Port City. Port City and Port are two different ones. And then Society, you know Society, because when we were at Savor, you went to that, you know, throwing a successful craft beer dinner, and they were one of the people hosting that one. I haven't had any of Society's beers, though, I don't think. So it should be interesting.
7.3 ABV. This stout hails from the land of sun, sand, and surf. Proves that a beach beer doesn't have to be light-colored and delicate. Stout of the Union is rich, roasty, full of deep malt flavors, creating a union of like-minded brewers together through beer.
All right. Well, let's pop this sucker.
Pretty cool.
And this is the end. This is the last one. What do we have? Are you real excited about this because it's a dark one? Because you're a stout fan?
Yeah, I'm a stout fan.
All right. Let's get it in your glass. Well, pouring it... Definitely looks like a stout, right?
I just love the head on the stout, yeah. Like that brown, creamy.
Yeah, it's not crazy brown, like it's beige. You know, there's a beige head to it, but it looks dark. It looks like a stout.
I feel like it smells like a chocolate frosty.
Like a chocolate frosty.
Yeah.
I see where you're going there a little bit. Because you're kind of going with a bit of like a milky lactic quality along with chocolate. But
like malt milkshake. You know, like malt.
Yeah. I think there's a little bit of a more of a hop presence than I was expecting. There's like a hit of hops, but that's right after that kind of milky, chocolatey aspect to it. There's a bit of a roasty coffee aspect on the nose as well.
Kind of everything that you would anticipate being in a stout, really. Nothing crazy out of the ordinary.
But definitely more hops than I expected on the nose. So we'll see how this plays out in the actual flavor. That mouth feels really good. Mm. The viscosity of this beer is like perfect for what I want in a stout. Oh, and it is like kind of, it's creamy. Mm. It's creamy on the mouthfeel. It hits you with a good amount of roasted coffee.
Yeah.
And it's got, that like milk chocolatey aspect to it as well. This is tasty.
Yeah. All three of these have been really good tonight.
Oh, man. And it doesn't, I mean, can't taste any alcohol on this one, pretty much. And actually, as I continue sipping it, I'm getting that hop quality, too.
Yeah. It is definitely hoppier than...
Wow. Yeah. And it's, but it's kind of like, it's like, and I've said this before on another beer, like the taste of something encapsulated in something, because you kind of get that flavor all the way throughout. I feel like you get, like, the milk chocolate and the roasted coffee at different intervals in the taste, but I feel like throughout all those flavors, the hops are there encapsulating all of those flavors, because they're there at the same time, type thing.
But then it finishes kind of bitter and dry.
It finishes kind of more like dark chocolate. Yeah. Like, if you actually, like, bite a bar of dark chocolate, it's very bitter. Yeah, I mean... But that, and a lot of that is kind of like a very roasty coffee as well. Mm-hmm. You know, you have that kind of bitter finish with real roasty coffee. So, I like it though. Like, I'm not put off really by that kind of bitterness.
It doesn't put me off either, but
God, just to note. These were good.
These were good. And honestly, the three we had last night were also very good at different times, mm-hmm. at different temperatures, you know?
You know, I'd be hard-pressed if you asked me if I liked last year's pack more or this year's pack. I feel like they both had their pluses and minuses. Mainly all pluses, but there weren't a whole lot of minuses. But I think last year, the big plus was you got 12 beers. And I, being a person who really likes to just continuously try new stuff, that was a lot of fun. Having half as many this time around is a little bit of a letdown. But the beers are quality, so... still really good. Yeah. But of the beers on this portion, these last three, what would you say your tops? I can give you my order if you want.
Go ahead.
I would go the Sweet Sunny South Table Beer was my favorite of these. Then the Stout of the Union Robust Stout. And then the Moxymoron Imperial Session IPA.
Okay.
All still really good, though.
So, mine's going to be just a slight different. I'm going to go the table beer first, then the IPA, and then the stout.
Okay. That's fair. So, now, overall, though, all of the beers, you'll have to reach back to... Actually, just last night is when we recorded the other three.
I just can't do that. I can't do that, though.
You can't?
No. Go ahead.
So, I think I would go the Patriot Revolutionary Pale Ale as my...
As my top.
Yes.
For real?
Yes. Because as I kept drinking that beer, it really started to impress me. All those characteristics, just so well put together. The apple played so well. And it's so funny because that was the beer I was most afraid of in the pack. That was the one most I looked at and I'm like, I'm just not excited about trying that because I just feel like it's going to potentially be a real stinker because I don't know how those apples are going to play. But that was really good. And I would say, Sierra Nevada, can you just make that and bottle that year-round? Because I would buy it. It is great. So that's my favorite. So I'd say overall, straight-up ranking, I'd have to go the Patriot Revolutionary Pale Ale as my one, the Sweet Sunny South Table Beer as my two. Then I'd have to throw the Stout of the Union Robust Stout next. Then I would go the Moxymoron Imperial Session IPA. Then I go the West Latitude Session Rye. And then I'd go the Family Values Imperial Brown.
Which is funny because last night you rated Family Values yes. as your number one.
Yes, I did. Things change.
Yeah.
Real life situations, you know? Yeah. And that's why with a lot of beers, it really is good to give them time. Like really sip on them. Let them acclimate to your taste buds. Well, actually more the other way around. Let your taste buds acclimate to it and, you know, just take your time with it. I mean, we can't always do that with this podcast and that's why it is important to note that there have been times where we record the podcast, we give a rating or an evaluation of a beer. And then afterwards, either myself or Rebecca or whoever's on will be like, you know, I should have given that higher. Or there have been times where it's like, yeah, you know, I was a little too generous on podcasts as I keep sipping on this. So, I mean, it does happen, but, you know, not a whole lot, I would say. Majority of the time when I've made my decision on podcast, I don't regret it afterwards. But every now and then, it happens. So, anyway, did you have fun with this?
Yeah, it was definitely a lot of fun.
Yeah. Oh, did you give your... You didn't, couldn't
I
give
can't,
your...
I just overall. Feel like That's I can. Fun. It's not fair.
Okay, right now, what do you think was your top, though? Your number one? Or just a few that you think were, like, you'd want them again?
Definitely the table beer. I still like the Family Values Imperial
That's
Brown.
That's fine.
And the Imperial Session IPA.
Okay.
I feel awesome. Like those are my top three.
Very good. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Thank you so much, Sierra Nevada, for being pioneers and doing such cool stuff as Beer Camp and those packs. And we look forward to getting the pack every year and doing this review as long as the podcast is going. And then even when the podcast isn't going, I'm sure we'll still try to be getting the pack every year. So that would, I mean, it's awesome. It's just so fun and so cool. So also thank you to all the breweries that we mentioned who were involved in these collaborations. You guys did a very good job overall. I'd just like to know how the collaborations were done. That's all. It would be fun to have that insight, but we may never know. Anyway, thank you so much. Rebecca, do you have anything final that you want to say?
I hope I can stay awake long enough to enjoy the rest of these.
Yes, very good point. And I noticed, as we're closing out, you poured yourself more of the table beer.
Yeah, I got to get to it before you do.
Well, that's true. And on that note, thank you, everybody. And please remember to
keep it brutal.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.